Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to Exploring the Prophetic. My name is Sean Bowles, and this is a weekly podcast and vibecast that we do both on YouTube and any podcast server you find to just encourage your faith that God's doing some things inside of you. And hopefully this gives you language for some of the journey you're going for, or someone that you're journeying with or around. It helps you to relate to them, have empathy, have compassion. I'm going to encourage you to share this with somebody. Also, subscribe to our channel. And if you already have, you can leave a review for a podcast, or you leave a comment so we can pray with you. And our favorite hashtag that we use all the time is hashtag my turn. When you relate to something that I'm saying in the prophetic word, feel free to say hashtag my turn and what we can pray for you for. And our team will go through the prophetic words video and see what we can pray for you for. I'm just opening up my notes right now. And I want to tell you that when I was praying for this week, one of the things that I really was focused on was how many of us have a list of prayers that are kind of on the shelf, or things we pray for really passionately, maybe our top 10 list, that haven't been answered yet. How many of you have that? You can hashtag my turn just for that. You know, we have so many prayers that have not been answered. Maybe it's over finances, or over health, or over a relationship we're in, or even a future romantic relationship, something that is just a center to our passion, a center to what we feel like God wants to do in our life. Maybe it's a crisis issue or something, a conflict issue, and you're looking for God to help you resolve it. And so many of these prayers that have been unanswered, maybe for a season or even a long period of time, God wants to help you with your focus in these areas, because God is the God of answered prayer, and God wants to bring alignment so that your prayer list is answered, so that he clears out your spiritual womb, so to speak, the place where you carry the prayers. And that he, you know, one of the mystics of the old would say, we're going to birth spiritual prayer, which meant the things that are not on earth yet, we're going to see the womb of heaven birth those things through our prayer life and see them manifest in the world around us. That might be too mystical, but it's just, I love that kind of language, because it puts it into a real context of like, prayer is a womb, and it's a place to where God can bring everything through his spirit and all of the preciousness of what he's called us to through prayer. And it's just such a beautiful thing. So I believe that God's bringing alignment between the prayers in our spirit and the reality of the manifesting. And there's a divine moment where a lot of us have felt the delay, but we're going to see that the delay is going to bring transformation and breakthrough, that God's actually been working on so much. If you look through your maybe prayer journals or stuff he's whispered, or you've whispered in the midnight hours, or things you've held deep in your spirits, or conversations you've had with friends when you were talking about kind of the deeper place of what you've been asking God for, and those things that haven't been answered yet, God is going to start to both show you the history of what he has done in your life, so you can see all the things he's answered, both things you prayed, but also things that he's prayed, things that Jesus has intended towards you. But also God's going to show you even how he uses all things, even delay, for your good. And I think that's a really important part, that if we give God the time, he'll show us even the hardship of why prayer's not answered. I know sometimes it can be a physical problem that you're like, God, I can't do all that you've called me to do with this issue in my life. Or maybe it's a financial problem that you're like, I've never been able to overcome this hurdle, but I've had promises. And I believe that God's speaking, that I'm bringing alignment, like his voice. I'm bringing alignment between your heart and my will, and the heavens are opening over your persistence. And many of you have been so persistent, and the timing and the alignment of the timing is going to be so right in this next season, so ripe in this next season. You know, the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. It says in James 5:16. So if you're living right with God, and again, like if you're in a place where you're in alignment with God in your heart, it's a powerful thing that, I mean, it moves heaven and earth. And you have to believe that. Many of us question, why are so many of my prayers not getting answered or feel delayed? And I know I've asked that in different seasons of my life. And I'm going to go over some of the reasons why to help you. I also think prophetically that God wants to speak to you about this in your own life as well. But being aligned with God's will takes alignment not only to his moral and biblical principles, but also to him relationally. And so there's a part of getting to know God and how to pray with him. Like Jesus said, hey, this is how you pray. And then he modeled relationally how he prays to the Father. He also showed us in John 17, his own prayer. Like he wasn't saying, you all pray this too, but he was praying something from the depth of his spirit. God, I'm praying the impossible thing, that they would be one as we are one, that they would know you and be together with me in your glory. I mean, he prayed some really profound things in John 17, which is one of my life scriptures, to be honest. And I think when we learn about prayers and praying, we learn that prayers take seasons and they take time and they take development. It's kind of like when you look at a garden. My wife has taught me a lot through planting her garden and through planting her food that she plants in her garden, and how if you plant in the wrong season, you don't get the right yield, or you don't get any yield at all. If you plant in the right season, sometimes things happen, like a freeze takes out some of your crops. If you plant the right season, it takes time no matter what for those things to happen. And sometimes you're pruning things that, like in the first season of a fruit tree, you prune all the fruit off or most of the fruit off because you want it to actually spend time growing as a tree before it actually produces its first crop. So many things I learned from farming that I'm like, no wonder Jesus used so many growth parables out of the natural to speak of our spiritual growth, because there are times and seasons. And so many of us get discouraged because we don't understand our own times and seasons. And therefore, we think we may have made a hidden judgment towards God. You don't answer my prayers. You don't love me as much as other people who tell me about their answer prayers. Or maybe you come from a different place where it's like, my life's not right. And therefore, because I did this, like maybe it's a wrong kind of right conviction, but wrong kind of guilt or shame. Well, because I did this, God can't do this. God can do anything, and he can work past your human weakness. And he even helps you to overcome sin so that you can actually walk back into his full purpose. So many of our prayers aren't in season yet. We have to learn how to understand the seasons and times. We have to understand the prunings and the winter seasons and all these things. And some of our prayers, well, all of our prayers will be answered in a way that we could have never anticipated because we're not the ones in control of them. So I have rarely met people for the bigger things they're praying for in life who said, it went exactly according to my plan and my prayer. Most people have said, God was so creative and did things in such a way that marveled even me. If you've ever watched a really good movie where it was so suspenseful and so action-packed and so things are so unresolved in the movie, and the writer or the creator actually brought it all together in such a beautiful way, and then that you were shocked, you were stunned. God is like that, but even more. God is so brilliant in how he brings things together, and he works everything for our good. And sometimes he allows some things as there's a problem in our life or trouble in our life or conflict in our life or whatever, he'll allow some things, and he begins the planning into the full resolution, not just a partial resolution, but the full resolution for our sons and daughters. And so I think that's a really important part of just trusting God, trusting his timing, trusting even when you can't see or you can't control, especially when you can't control, because it requires a level of surrender, which God requires for a lifestyle of answer prayers, to surrender your will, your agenda, your control, your ability to even steward something without God is sometimes tested. And I think that the next thing we're going to talk about is sometimes prayers are being tested, which means we're growing a relationship with God in Christlikeness to be able to see our answers. And some of our prayers don't have, you know, that tested, tried, and true nature behind it, meaning you could be praying for great wealth, but if you can't steward wealth, if you're already in a place of poverty mindset, or you're at a place where you can't pay normal bills, you're at a place where you can't work with the work ethic you're going to have later on, or you don't have the creative strategy, it's like putting a college kid in charge of a Fortune 500 company. It's just, you'll miss some steps that will destroy them versus help them. And there's things that God can't give us until we're ready. There's things that God can't do until he's built the character inside of us. And so many of us hate that season, because when certain prayers aren't answered, when it comes to self-fulfillment, or when it comes to purpose, when it comes to calling, and we try and manage those things or make them happen faster, we don't get the result that God wants to give us. And so I want to encourage you, don't have an Ishmael, have an Isaac, which means you're going to wait on God. And sometimes it feels past the point of it feels ridiculous how long we wait sometimes. And another issue is that some of our prayers don't have faith. And this would be kind of the third main big bullet point, is that we feel like we have faith because we know the mantra of the prayer, like, Lord, you're going to make me blessed, or whatever. You're going to make me prosper. You're going to make my family have no conflict. You're going to have, you know, all the prayers. But sometimes we pray more as power positivity statements versus actually looking at the God of all the universe, who has all the angel armies, and Jesus paid a price to be the King of all kings, who's already in control of everything. And we look at him and we patronize him with our prayers, because we're like, I will be wealthy. I will be. And we make all these power statements, but they're just disengaged from the actual relationship to, why would you be wealthy? Why would you be blessed? Well, it's because Jesus is going to return, and you get to bring him everything he's worthy of in your lifetime. And if there's a disconnect between Jesus and powerful positive statements, it's not real prayer. It's actually just the power of positivity, which sometimes works, and then sometimes it's humanistic. And so sometimes we don't really have faith. We just have positivity. But faith comes in believing that God has an intention towards us, and then aligning our lives to live towards that intention he has already. So if we believe we're supposed to, you know, have a business that's successful, it's not enough just to believe that. We have to look at, like, God, why? I think of some of the Exploring the Marketplace episodes we've done, and one of them was with Mark Walker who owns furniture stores up in the Pacific Northwest. And one of the things that he said right when he got saved was that he began to pray, especially in his group where he met his wife. He began to pray, Lord, let me make money to fund the kingdom. Give me businesses and ideas that will fund kingdom strategies. And him and his wife have been able to do that. But they started in a basement with furniture that was like, you know, the wood that you have to paint furniture type thing. And then they went into full huge, you know, retail stores of furniture this many years later, decades later, where they've been able to fund so many kingdom projects. But it started with a heart that says, for your sake, Lord, give me finances so I could walk out purpose with you and help ministries that are walking in purpose with you. And God couldn't resist that kind of prayer because it was true. It was authentic in his heart. I think sometimes when we pray prayers for something that we need or we want, we pray it with a self motive and God can't meet it the same way. And he has to purify that motive until it's the right motive. It's not a wrong thing to pray for, but the way we're praying for it, he can't give it to us in that season. It's like there's certain things that he's aligning for seasons that you don't even have full faith for yet. So you may have faith for the drug addict to get saved, but you have faith for the drug addict to get saved and live a righteous life in God, which may take participation on your part. You know, our Lord, feed all the kids in Africa. That's a noble prayer, but a better prayer is, God, how can I help? Lord, what can you do through my little life for the kids in Africa or the kids at risk somewhere? Yeah, make my life a prayer. You know, and that's when faith meets the rubber meets the road of faith, and God can be more, he can answer because it's not general wishes anymore. Now it's your life paying a price for the theme of the prayer. God wants to bring alignment to your prayer life in such a strong way because he doesn't want to just give you your prayer list and meet you there and just say, done, like a genie, you're done, and go away into his genie lamp and disappear. He's your father, and he's also, Jesus is like a bridegroom, your counterpart, and he wants to walk with you. He's called you co-heirs, which means you're going to rule and reign with him. And so that means that God wants to set you up in a position to where you actually know how to pray with him. And I think a lot of people have gone after this model of the courtrooms of heaven, if you've ever heard of that model. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant kind of model of prayer because you're thinking of yourself in the role with Jesus as an advocate, as a justice center, as somebody who can bring kingdom perspective into situations and bring kingdom resolutions. And I think that there's certain prayer models that are like starting to help people to realize your authority through prayer. And it takes out false expectation or our own control. And I think that not only does God want to obviously answer all prayers that are aligned with his heart and his purpose, sometimes your job is to seek him out and not really ask, why isn't this prayer not being answered? But actually instead, let me know you and your ways, God. And there's something about Solomon when he built the temple, the place where the presence of God was going to habitate. And he has a dream and God asks him, you can have whatever you want. What do you want? And he didn't say more armies or wealth or, you know, a better family or whatever, like more blessing on his family. He said, God, let me think and pray and process like you do. Let me have your mind. Let me have your wisdom. So that everything I do, I'm doing it with your mindset, with your heart and your mind. And I think there's something about the way we go to prayer where it's like, God, even before I pray for what I need and what I want in my prayer list, before I do my second commandment prayer list, which is like help the missionaries in Africa, help my family, you know, with provision, help my whoever's sick, whatever. Even before we do that, we come into a place of like, God, give me your wisdom. Give me your mind. Give me the way that you would pray. So when I'm thinking about these things, I'm not just making them as a appointed list, like again, I'm a genie in a bottle, but I'm actually saying, God, I know you want the healing of this person more than I do. I know that you never intended them to be sick. So I pray with your desire. I pray with your will. Is there anything I can do to help this situation? And other than that, I just bathe it in prayer. I just say, God, help them. You know, or maybe it's your finances. God, I know this isn't where you wanted us to live with a lack, or maybe you have a lot of finances and you're trying to figure out what to do with them. God, you're going to give us wisdom on what to do. I think that's really important because we know God's timing is perfect, but it's not always immediate. And I think there's a scripture in Habakkuk that says the vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for coming. It can hardly wait. It doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait, it's on the way. It will come right on time. So in other words, the things that God's put inside of you, Habakkuk 2:3, it's God's waiting to bring this to you. He can't wait to bring you his fullness. He can't wait to bring you the fully answered prayers, but he's also patient enough to allow your life to line up with what it takes to bring those prayers answers. I think sometimes delay isn't denial, it's divine development. And I think that's a hard one. If delay is not denial, it's divine development, then it means we have to become something in ourselves to steward what we're asking for. And I think of Abraham, he waited 25 years for the promise that I mentioned earlier of Isaac, and he went after Ishmael first, and it was a total mistake, and then he got Isaac. Why? Because God wasn't just preparing a baby, he was preparing a nation. And I think that that's, some of us don't realize how much he's doing through our lives. You know, if God answered too early, the foundation wouldn't hold for all God was going to do. You know, I think we often pray without true agreement with heaven. And I love this scripture. It says you wouldn't think of asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You'd be spoiled children, wanting your own way. James 4:3. In other words, there's certain things we know we're not asked to ask for. I'm not going to ask for a Lamborghini tonight. I'm not going to ask for, you know, like a physical body I didn't work for. Like, I'm not going to ask for, like, let me be in perfect shape like Superman. I'm going to ask for things that make sense to the kingdom message. And I'm going to work on the things like I can work towards, you know, having a career that brings wealth, or having, you know, for fancy cars. I can work towards a body that's in shape, that has a superb shape, if I felt like I was supposed to do that. But there's certain things that we think we're asking for that are just things that God's like, no, I can't give you that. That's something that I've give you partnership to earn, or to give you partnership to develop. We know it's possible to pray prayers that sound right, but are rooted in selfish ambition or fear or pain rather than God's heart. I mean, we saw it with Jonah. He didn't want to pray for Nineveh at all. Like, he had zero desire. When he did, it was half-hearted. But when God aligned his heart, I love this, Nineveh was saved. I think of this prophetic insight that God wants to give you, where he's aligning your spirit with heaven's heart and values. So you can start praying with clarity. So you can have confidence. And faith isn't the absence of doubt, thank God, because we all have, you know, doubts at times, but it's the presence of trust, having trust to say God's going to lead me, and stronger than man or the enemy could ever mislead me. There's something about saying, you know, I'm going to absolutely, everything from large to small, I'm going to make it a part of my believing and prayer that God wants to move on my behalf. And I love that Matthew 21:22 says that. Let's just read that real fast. Let me just look at my notes here. It says the exact same thing, absolutely everything, ranging from the smallest to largest, make a part of your prayer life. And I think that's huge. Make a part of your believing prayer and let it get included as you lay hold of God. So everything large and big. And I think, like, once we start to do that, I think of my wife and how we take walks every day and how we just kind of include each other in a whole internal process. And it causes us to know each other's heart and know each other's methods. And so there's times when maybe I want to do something, but I realize this has been a tired week, and so she doesn't have energy to do something this weekend that would be really good. But if I save it for another weekend, she'll be able to fully enjoy it. Maybe she feels something in me where it's like she wants to buy us something, but she knows it's beyond our means right now. But she puts a check mark on it and says, one day we're going to do that. One day I think that God will, you know, bless us to where we can do that. And so there's things that we can look back and forth on and say, you know, like, I know her so well that I know what can and can't happen right now, or what should be delayed, or what should maybe even be not a priority right now. And I think when we start to know God's heart, we get that sense. And some of us don't have the faith that we're going to have that level of connection to God, but we can. And I love Mark 9:24. It says, then I believe, help me with my doubts. And so we're going to go through seasons of doubting, and there's going to be seasons of not understanding. But when we have relational connection, we trust and go, well, maybe there's something that God sees that I don't, and I'm going to trust him anyways. You know, sometimes we interpret lack of results as a lack of faith, but Jesus honored people with the mustard seed of faith. Thank God. Faith isn't performance. It's relationship. I love that statement, and it's not mine. I can't remember where it came from, but faith isn't performance. It's relationship. And I think about some of the things I've been praying for, and I prayed for a woman who had a prodigal son for 17 years, and she told me she almost stopped believing God was going to bring her prodigal home. But the night after we prayed, her son called out of nowhere and said he had a dream that told him, your mom is still praying, come home. And he came to Christ that week. What changed? Her consistency in prayer matched heaven's timing. It's like it unlocked the answer. It wasn't that she met with me, and so therefore I prayed, and therefore it happened. I mean, I didn't even tip the scales. I was just one more prayer to a lifestyle of prayer. She'd prayed for her prodigal son. And I think, like, something happened in her faith where she saw the timing was right, because she said, you know, I had to walk my husband through a 7-year caregiving where he passed away. And it would have been terrible if my son, who was not walking with God and walking kind of a really bad lifestyle, was trying to come around us, come home, have influence here, and we had to manage his drama and his intensity. But when he did come, he came without all of the baggage. He came fully free because he came as a new creation in Christ, and he added value to our lives again, and we added value to his. I just think that that's what God wants to do. He wants to do some things that are in an order and a timing that are going to not take you out. That, like, the blessing of what's going to come through some of your answered prayers won't be a burden to you, but they'll be in step with where you're at. And we have to stay motivated to pray, even in silence. I love pray all the time, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, or the prayer of person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. James 5:16, prayer isn't just asking, it's agreeing. And I think of, you know, for me personally, I've been in ministry for 30 plus years. In 2001, I remember God gave me a message that there's going to be a coming renaissance in the entertainment industry. And I'll talk more about this, but I remember just God showed me that he's going to use entertainment industry and the arts and creative sciences and technology to bring a renaissance, to move man forward, to leap man forward into a new state of being, to receive Christ. And I just knew that it was going to be key to have the greatest stories ever told and the greatest places to ever tell them, like movie theaters and television and streaming and all these things. And I remember prophesying this, and the churches I was involved with didn't have a grid for entertainment or for technology. A lot of them felt like the internet was evil at the time. They didn't really like streaming. They didn't really like this kind of stuff like YouTube or podcasting. And so it didn't make sense. It wasn't like I was kind of before my time, so to speak, in saying it, but I felt like I was supposed to preach this message. And I also went and moved to LA in 2006 and spent, 18 years there, or however many years there up until last year. I spent all that time in preparing that message and just giving people faith who were working in entertainment or in technology fields, and saying God is assigning people as missionaries in these areas because he's about to display his glory in some of these big public sectors and some of these technology companies and media. And we're going to start to see something that's going to be a move of God, and it won't be church-centric the same way that maybe some of the past revivals were, where you had like a place of a church that met and everybody gathered around that church, but there's going to be a move of God in culture. And I remember just praying that, just going, I would tell people, I even said in some big platforms and stages with thousands of people, saying there's going to be TV shows that are the number one, number two TV shows in all of the world, or movies that will be the number one, number two movies in all the world that will be like epics about the life of David, or will be about Abraham or Moses, or will be about Jesus. And people just go, yeah, whatever. Like, we've seen that before, because they were thinking of the old ways, the 1950s Ben-Hur or whatever, or 1960s. And I just remember prophesying, and so many people were like, nah, but there was filmmakers and people who were there who were like, I believe that. There's people who are believing God's going to prepare culture, not just through the organized church, but through the people who have lives as Christians who are also the church in these very public arenas. And now this year we're watching The Chosen, like both on streaming television, on Prime and all the places it streams, but also in the movie theaters. It's been released again in the movie theaters. We're watching, it's going to break records for season 5. It broke records for season 4. We're watching The House of David be the number one streaming movie or TV series on any platform right now. I mean, it made number one over the weekend. We're watching some of the answers to that prophetic message. And I think for me, I've been praying for revival, and I've been praying for this world to be ready for Jesus's return. And I've been seeing some of the ways he wants to do it. But I've also had to tarry, because a lot of the places that I would share those things didn't get it and didn't get my perspective and I didn't have to, they didn't reject me by not getting it. They didn't understand like what my life was pointed at versus a lot of them who were more church centric or who were more focused on what God wants to do in missions and normal Christian missions that are very ministry centric. And I was looking at the external places and just going, oh, God's going to get glory there. And so for even me in my own prayer life, watching so many of the prayers and so many of the declarations that I made manifesting right now, but it takes eyes to see. And there's sometimes I have to look at them and go, this is what we prayed for all the way back from the 90s. And it's happening right now. And then I have to stop and I have to be present with what God said and then how it's being fulfilled. And then also give me greater hope for what still has to happen. And some of you can relate to that, because maybe God's done something where he envisioned you like to move somewhere, to have a certain career, to be married, to have children, whatever it is. But then you got caught up in the minutia of it. Maybe you had the children, but one is neurodivergent or whatever. You got caught up in something where it's like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. But you have to come back to the promise and go, but God still isn't finished yet. And he's got us this far. And God, I just glory in who you are in this measure. And I thank you so much for this measure, God. And I pray that I wouldn't stop in this measure. I wouldn't stop here, but you would take me all the way. Some of you have resisted real depression and discouragement because you've been under so much attack, whether it be attack of finances or health, whether it be attack of other believers, attack of people in other organizations, people in other businesses, and you've gone through so much. And some of you it might have been a moral attack where, like, I know a lot of politicians and people who are standing up for, stuff, American values and or values in your country, whatever country you're in, standing up for morality or standing up for, conservative values, biblical values, and you've been hit. And a lot of us have taken a lot of hits, but what's beautiful is that God says no weapon formed against you will prosper. They'll form, but they won't prosper. And Romans 8:28 says he'll use all things for the good of those who love him. So he'll use the very attack that almost destroyed you to actually build you. And I think of things like back to a movie industry project when Mel Gibson was releasing The Passion. He had it screened in front of almost every major pastor who was in any big church in North America. And they all loved it, but they were like, we can't stand with you or help you finance this or make this happen because it's too bloody. It's rated R, or it's like too controversial, or it's like puts the Jews in a bad light, whatever it was. There was so much controversy over the movie. So he had to spend his own money to make this movie. He spent his whole net worth making it, plus borrowed some with some of his partners. And they put everything behind this movie, and they put the movie out, and it's been seen in front of 770 million people or more in our generation in just this last 20 years or however long it's been out. Plus, it made close to $1 billion in revenue. And I just think, you know, someone like Mel Gibson, who tried to make something for God and for the church and for humanity and was completely resisted on every level and made it through that battle and then went through kind of another 10 years of battle or 15 years of battle before he started in the last couple of years believing he's supposed to make another movie and also seeing God do something new in his family. And I just think like there's people out there who you've taken the hits. And sometimes we take the hits and we don't get the healing and the therapy and the love and we're not connected to the body of Christ or a local church. And so we take the hits and we don't rebound and we don't regenerate. We don't come into or maintain that place of truth or we go to a place of not hiddenness, but actual exile. Or we go to a place where it's like Elijah ran away because it's a threat of Jezebel, you know. And I'm going to encourage you that if you're in a season where your prayers haven't been answered and you're taking a lot of hits, stay faithful. Stay the course, stay connected, stay close to Jesus in his heart, stay close to community, stay close to friends, stay close to what he's doing. Because when you can recognize what God's done all along, and he's giving you the power to do something in your life that's really strong. If there's resistance and war, that means it's only going to be better on the other end. It doesn't mean it's going to kill you. It means it's only going to be better on the other end. And so that doesn't make the jabs and the stabs easy, but it does make you think, wow, I have a lot of friends who've gone through betrayal and controversy or have gone through financial loss or health issues, but they don't have the promise that we do as Christians when you have a life in Christ of redemption, both here and in eternity. And so I'm going to encourage you to hold on to those promises in the midst of prayer, because some of you are praying things out of desperation because of how hard it's been, and God hears you and God's already working for you. And just like Daniel, and I've used the scripture, if you've listened to this over the last couple of years, I've used this scripture many times out of Daniel, when the angel of the Lord comes to Daniel and he says, from the first day you humbled your heart and you prayed your prayers, I was sent, but there was a war in the heavens. And I'm just now getting there. And Daniel thought it was past time. He thought God had forgotten him to some degree. He knew he hadn't, but he'd also been like, it was well past time of an answer, a prayer could be answered. And yet the full answer came and the full glory of God came. Some of you are going to see the full glory come. And I'm going to encourage you and just pray for you right now as we end this. God is with you and God is near to you, and God's going to use all things for your good. And God is not going to answer your prayers, but he does want to make your life a stable for those prayers to be answered, a womb for those prayers to be able to land in. And so I pray, God, that you would give us grace for our prayer life. Give us grace for what hasn't happened yet, God. Lord, you show me you're going to start to answer prayers, and some of it's going to be because we come to a new measure of faith and relationship and connection to you, Jesus. We want our prayers for your sake. We want our answers for your sake, God. We want to pray with you, not in front of you. We want to come boldly before the throne of grace, not come as someone who's praying for a wish list or a dream list, and not someone who's making powerful, positive statements, but we want to come because we're in alignment with your heart. And God, everything that's not been in alignment, help us. Everything that we feel like can't be restored, Lord, we know it can be redeemed, which means you can restore it, you know, or do something in our lives that would make it look like we never needed a restoration in the first place. And God, I think of everybody from Nick Vulichek, who has no arms and no legs, and you never healed him. You could still heal him, but you never healed him. But you gave him his full calling in life, despite the weakness he has of not having arms and legs. And he has gone around the world and preached that to corporations and schools and also, of course, ministries, and has been such a light. And I think of other people who may not have had one of their big prayers answered, and yet, despite that weakness of not getting answered, you did above and beyond what they could imagine their wildest dreams. So God, let us not hold on to prayers like an idol, but let us hold on to you, Jesus, like you are the most important thing that we maintain and build connection with, not the dreams we have, not the calling we have, not the desires we have, but you, Jesus, first. And let us release and relinquish control over our version of what we think needs to happen. God, we want to know your will for your sake, not just for our sake. We want your glory for your sake. We want to see your life lived out through us in a way that really glorifies you. And God, just touch us today. Touch us. We release our prayer list to you for answers. And Lord, do anything in us you have to for those answers to come, in Jesus' name. Well, thanks for letting me share with you. Thanks for letting me pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. Bowls Ministries is supported by people just like you every week. If you have the energy, the time, or the finances and resources to be on the journey with us, go to bowlsministries.com today. Click on give or donate.bowlsministries.com. Click on give, and you can give a donation there. It will help us to reach the millions we're reaching every month. And it happens to be your fruit when we reach them with the gospel. And so our fruit becomes your fruit. I will see you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.seanbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my prophetic monthly mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or seanbowles.com and click on mentoring community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.